I think you're right, and it's really important, I think, to be informed, be financially intelligent, and you're like a hallmark of like financial intelligence, because not only are you savvy financially, but you discovered Monero. You know what I mean?
I discovered it because of you guys.
Really? Us?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Really?
Cool.
Really?
Cool.
I discovered it because of the crypto vigilante.
Really? We didn't know this! That's awesome! Yeah! What up, vigilantes? I'm here with Nam. One thing that came to mind, I was talking to my buddies about this the other day, and it's like this memetic came up for us. Monero. Monero. Moms are the people in the economy who, in a sense, are like the administrators of the household, right? Really, that's... Moms, more than anyone, understand the importance, I think, of having a good sound money, good medium of exchange, and something that is censorship resistant, especially in a time when even the custody of your children are up at stake for disagreeing with a government norm or political cultural norm, like critical race theory or something crazy that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, we live in a crazy world.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk to you about that, about from the perspective of a mom, because you're a mom. Where do you see all of this? What do you think about this? And where are we going?
So I don't think I don't think I have talked a lot about this, but my older son has been severely impacted by the system. His health has been damaged by something that doctors, you know, forced on us, except we were ill-informed at that stage. I won't go into too much detail, but I've suffered a lot. So as a mom, it's my responsibility to make sure that my kids are equipped to handle the future. And by being equipped, it means that their source of wealth in the future comes from everything outside the system. So we're as outside the system as possible. Like, all I expect really is for him to be a happy, you know, human being. And then at some stage to make a living. So I don't have great expectations.
Is that because of the culture and what's happening with the pandemic and all that?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's the whole traditional trajectory or the journey that a child takes. He goes to school, he's taught a certain, you know, he's taught how to behave a certain way. Then he goes into college, then he goes into, like, then he tries to get a job and he goes into the corporate world. And I feel like even my younger child is not made for that. I just want happiness for them, and I know that, you know, if I do a good job at ensuring their future happiness by giving them the tools that they need, that they're probably and hopefully not going to need to go through the traditional, you know, journey of employment and, you know, that sort of thing that most kids do. That, and at least like in my culture, like Indian parents, they talk to each other and they're like, oh, my son is in some university and they're doing this and now they're working in this, you know, big corporate company, and they're always like doing that sort of thing. And I am not that. I want my kids to be as far from that environment as possible. I want them to be happy, and I want them to have enough for, you know, to ensure that happiness. So I think at the moment my focus is literally on what me and my husband can do to, you know, ensure that for their future, you know, life. That's it, really. No big expectations.
So, I mean, so would you say that everything that you lived through as a mom, did that play a significant role in your journey with Monero?
Yeah, because at one point I grew extremely distrustful of the system. But after I had gotten thoroughly, thoroughly burnt, you know, with my older son, the more I researched, the more I realized I didn't know. And even at this stage, I realize that I probably don't know a lot of stuff, but I think I know enough to not be trustful of the system that we're born into, you know, and that we're placed into. Because I think we all take it for granted that that is the only way. but I'm trying to find an alternate way, another way. Like, you know, like, I'm moving to Dubai now in a couple of weeks. We're setting up, like, I'm setting up a crypto company that's, again, legal because there's no crypto taxes over there. So I'm setting things up so that they work out within the framework of the institution, but without being completely, you know, in the mainstream sort of way. And honestly, if my son, 20 years from now, was stuck in an office cubicle for most of his living life, I would consider myself a failure. I don't care what they paid him. Yeah, I really would.
And so it's like, do you see sound money as a way to not just free ourselves from that, but also to free other people that aren't aware that this deal turn is weak? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think sound money is the only thing. In my talk, I referred to two bowls of soup. One was liquid, and one was one had pieces of food in it. You know, like pieces of vegetables and meat, but they were solid. And those pieces were sound money. That was the liquid was the cash. So anybody with a soup that's literally all liquid, which is cash, when the stream of water that's constantly pouring into both the bowls of soup. When that water is poured into the soup, that soup that was liquid, the first bowl, that overflows and it spills. Why? Because that inflation, that currency creation that they're doing every single day, that they're going to keep doing nonstop, it flows into the liquid bowl of soup because you haven't converted your cash into hard assets. The other bowl of soup that has chunks of meat and veggies, that nutrition remains in your bowl no matter how much water trickles into that bowl. You see? Because that stuff stays in the bottom, it's heavy. So it holds the nutrition and it holds the value. So the liquid stuff, after a few, you know, years or days of like a drop pouring in every day, which you barely notice every day because it's so slow. But then if you look at it 1 year later, you're looking at literally the soup level has risen, but you think the soup level is rising, but it's actually just water. It's like zero nutrition. You know what I mean? Which is the paper money that's circulating everywhere. So that
or Bitcoin one number go up.
No, what I'm talking about is the money printing, right? The US dollar or any currency, really, like the euro or any currency. So when that water is being poured in that bowl of liquid soup, that liquid gets displaced no matter how thick that liquid is. You know, it's like a really good nutritious soup to start off with. But with that water constantly being poured into it, it starts spilling out. And there's a much larger bowl that's collecting that liquid. And that's basically the sort of like the parasitic ruling class that takes up all of the wealth that we're giving up because of the money printing, and they're capturing that wealth. That's why the wealth divide keeps growing. And you know, these are some basic things that I understand now, but I would want my kids to understand as well and operate through life, keeping all of this in mind, you know, and knowing what hard assets are, what cash is, what, you know, how the system is diluting your earnings and your savings, basic stuff. But a lot of people don't understand it. And I think the fact that I understand it and I'm able to, you know, take some measures to pass on the benefits of my understanding to my kids, I'm hoping that has a positive impact, you know, in their lives.
No, that's fascinating. And so when you after all the craziness we've been through, and you seem to be a very international person, what resources or what way would you point anyone thinking about having a family nowadays? A lot of young families are emerging, especially after the pandemic, and people walk away, you know? So, and they're waiting, this is a time when people woke up and they realized, oh my gosh, this is, everybody was under lockdown, what's going on? Where would you point them? Is there any resources or anything that you would guide parents and families in understanding how to navigate these waters?
You know, the way I did it, and I consider myself to some extent, you know, that I'm a little bit outside now of that process. Like, you know, I was able to leave my job, I was able to start my company. But, you know, the last 15 years, I've been driving the oldest car in the parking lot. Like, if you come to my office, the place I used to work, you go to the parking lot, it looks like a luxury car parade kind of thing. And then the oldest, most rundown car was mine. It's always been like that. Because I've never had a desire to compete in society, you know, for materialistic. I guess I've always known that my children need the, you know, me to do the maximum I can for them, because I have a difficult situation, much more difficult than my friends' kids, you know what I mean? So, like, since I've known that, I've been working extra hard. I think it's fueled my and my husband's efforts, you know, in that direction. So what I've done is, I had an exit interview recently with my company when I quit, and the HR person was asking, he was like, oh, you know, I would love to quit as well and stuff like that, and just do my own thing and not come to work every day and stuff like that. And he's like, so what are you going to do? And then I said, I'm going to do this crypto related stuff. And then he said, oh, I've also made an investment. And he said, and I said, what is that? And he's like, my biggest investment is my car. Not surprised, everybody there has, you know, they put half their paycheck into their car every month. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, A, that's a liability, that's not an investment, that's not an asset. But, you know, that's just how it is. Everybody, on my side of the world at least, is so obsessed with their social standing and their thing. And I never fell into that hype. So my advice to these young families is, do not fall into the societal traps of, you know, I gotta have this watch and I gotta have this car and I gotta have, you know, all of these things and I gotta have these pictures on Instagram. No, none of that is important. What you have to do is spend less than you earn. Save the difference and invest it. That's the first thing. You know, I have properties today. My kids' futures are like secure, you know. I don't have to worry. Like, if I die tomorrow, my kids have, you know, they won't be on the street. So I sleep at peace after driving shitty cars for so many years, after like doing everything I had to, but like I did it because, you know, I was also propelled in that direction at like 10 times the velocity of probably another parent. Like some, like my friends' kids, they're all normal. They know that they'll go to school, they'll, you know, get some higher degrees and then they'll get corporate jobs. Like, they're able kids. My son is not able. So I have to work extra hard because I gotta make sure that, you know, his future is secured when I'm not around. So that was a big challenge for me. But I think, you know, having that challenge has pushed me so hard, like in the direction that I was, probably should be going anywhere, you know? So anyway, so my advice to families is, don't fall into the societal trap of living this false life, because anybody who pretends to be rich isn't rich, and someone who's actually rich, like acid rich, will not look very rich, you know? That's the difference. Unless they're a billionaire and they've really, really made it, like they've got their private jets and things like that. I'm not obviously there. I'm not like anything really. I do have a pretty international background. I have common sense, and I think I've been able to apply after I burnt myself to, I think, protect myself and get myself out of the system as much as possible while being in the system. So I think one of the benefits I had is I live in a tax-free environment, you know, and I grew up in a tax-free country. So that's a huge thing, because giving up half your paycheck is not fun. So I won't go into taxation and theft and all that, but, you know, it kind of is. And so if you can get out and go to a tax-free jurisdiction, you know, I would say do that. But the second thing is, don't get sucked into that lifestyle where you're competing with the society. That's never going to be any good for you or for your kids, because that never ends. That race is always like, oh, I got that watch, and I got this car, and I got my mom. You know, it's horrible. Don't have any shame in driving an old car. Don't have any shame in not having a watch. Like, I don't even have a watch. I just, you know, it's just, it's really about, at the end of the day, I sleep at peace, you know, knowing that my kids' future is secure. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. And it's wonderful to see, you know, thank you for sharing your journey with us, because you become such a, like, pillar of the Monero community, and people really look up to you. And yeah, you have.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's, and your story and everything you share with us is really awesome, because you not only understand the corporate world, but you understand the world of the family, you know. And there's a lot of young people out there that want to have families, and there's so much turmoil going on. So I really wanted to have you on so that you can give us, shine some light on how to navigate through all of this, because it seems pretty crazy, right?
There's one thing I wanted to say about the advice to the families. So don't be afraid of taking debt. Why? Because the debt that you take on today is going to become worth less and less in the future. So if you're able to service that debt, take it on. You know, the more debt that you have that you're able to service, obviously, the better, you know, the cheaper it's going to be to pay it off in the future. So that's one thing. So if you're able to get a mortgage and, you know, pay the down payment and, like, get into that situation where you have a good tenant, stuff like that, get into those situations using the leverage. Leverage is a good thing when you're utilizing it correctly.
Right on. And of course, this is not financial advice, blah 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 blah. But yeah, I think you're right, and it's really important, I think, to be informed, be financially intelligent, and you're like a hallmark of like financial intelligence, because not only are you savvy financially, but you discovered Monero. You know what I mean?
I discovered it because of you guys.
Really? Us?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Really?
Cool.
Really?
Cool.
I discovered it because of the crypto vigilante.
Really? We didn't know this! That's awesome! Yeah!
Yeah.
So cool,
so
Nat.
I should be thanking you.
No, and thank you for being here talking to me. And
thank you, Rafa.
Yeah, very much appreciate it. And do you want to plug anything? If anyone wants to know more about you, follow you or anything?
I'm active on Twitter. Pretty active on Twitter. It's Nam Sardar, NamSardar.
Awesome. Thank you for being with us.
Much.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.